good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Boy, you talking about a shock. This is a shock.
Amen.
Such a shock that I stayed up last night till about 3:30 in the morning trying to get ready.
Amen.
You can notice I've got the shakes. I'm not that nervous. I've just got the shakes. But it is good to be saved, isn't it, being in the Lord's house? And you know, like a lot of Baptists, I suppose, the Lord spoke to my heart several days ago on a thought, and I said, well, surely He won't call me to preach. And so I just more or less ignored that thought until last night, and I said, my goodness, He has called me to preach. And then I want to say something else. Some of you know my problem. I'm orthostatic, which means my blood pressure is up 1 minute and down the next, uncontrollable. So I've got a medicine I take to bring my blood pressure down. Then I've got one I take to make my blood pressure come up. And the one I take to make me come up, one of the side effects of it is your head itches. So if I start scratching my head, I don't have the fleas. So, all right, I'm going to actually turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter number 8. And by the way, I don't see well. I've got what they call Salzman's nodular degeneration, whatever them big words mean. And so if I have to strain and look, I hope you'll forgive me about that. But I'll do the best I can, and I'll be just as quick as I possibly can and get out of the way, all right? Ecclesiastes in chapter number 8. I want to read one verse, and that is verse number 8, where the writer Solomon says here, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Now may the Lord bless that reading of His Word. Let's look to Him in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, for the service we've already been in last night and the good preaching of the Word of God. I do thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here and to be able to preach Your Word. And I ask You to give divine help and power and grace and liberty. I want to help somebody this morning, Lord. If I can't help somebody, I don't want to be here. So I pray You'll bless me, fill me, and speak through me. Do great and mighty things, and we'll thank You, Lord, for all that is done. I do pray You bless Elizabeth this morning and help her. She's Poppy's little baby, and I pray, Lord, that You'd touch her and bless her, give her grace and healing. We thank You for doing that. Thank You for all these dear men of God that are here. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. All right, thank you, and you may be seated. I think I understand the context of the setting of this verse of Scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes. But if you'd allow me this morning to do so, and please don't judge me too harshly, I'd like to take that one little thought where Solomon said that there is no discharge in this war. And, of course, many of you know that I stepped down from the pastorate a couple years ago. Now, Brother Shepherd has been pastoring. And I've been able to see a few things in a little different light since I stepped down from the pastorate than what I did while I was pastoring. And I want to preach for a little while just on a simple little old thought. Things don't change when we're near the end. Things don't change when we're near the end. There is no discharge in this war. And to illustrate that, several years ago, and I do mean several years ago, I was in the military. I got out in 1968, had been to Vietnam and returned and got out, and they gave me papers that they called separation. I was separated from the military. That separation did not discharge me from that war. I could have still been called into military service had the need arrived. But a few more years, and I forget exactly how long it is now that you owe that obligation and that debt. I got from the military in the mail from Uncle Sam a letter that said I had been fully discharged.
Amen.
I was discharged from that commitment. My commitment to the Army was finished. No more tours of duty, no more going to Germany, no more Fort Sills, no more Fort Knox, and no more Vietnam. And say amen right there.
Amen.
But there are just no more jungle, no more dodging AK-47 rounds. It all had ended. But you know, in this spiritual warfare that we're in, there is no discharge.
That's right.
I stepped down from the ministry 2 years ago, but I have learned this one thing, that my commitment to Christ remains.
Amen.
Just because I stepped down, that did not discharge me from the warfare that I'm in, did not discharge me from my responsibilities and my duties nor my commitments in serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No. And some might be so foolish in here this morning as to believe that resigning a pastorate or quote-unquote retirement would bring about a life of ease, just rear back, relax, and let somebody else fight the battle. Lay aside the armor and let someone else fight all the battles. But you know, there's only one thing wrong with that. It's wrong. I found out that it does not work that way. And can I say this to us that are preachers and in the ministry? Once we step down from that ministry, does not relieve us of our responsibilities. And you know, I'd almost forgotten what it's like just to be a child of God and a Christian and serve Him in that capacity. There is, you know, it's just somewhat different serving Him as a pastor or as a member. But the only difference in that is a pastor has got responsibilities as being a pastor. But our responsibilities and commitments to Christ to live for Him, serve Him, love Him, walk with Him, be a blessing for Him, does not cease when we step down from the ministry, when we grow old. I'm just telling you, as we grow old and get closer to the end, brother, there is no slack.
Right.
I think people think, well, I'm getting closer to the end, you know, God will give me a little bit of slack. No, He doesn't give us a little bit of slack. He expects the same from us when we're 80 years old or 70 years old as He did when we were 25 years old and just getting started in the ministry. There's no change. There is no discharge in this war.
Amen.
And I want to add this in there. If you notice, He did say war.
Right.
He didn't say a skirmish.
Right.
He didn't even say a battle. I spent a year and 3 months in Vietnam, and I fought in several battles. But the war lasted until 1975. That's exactly right. And there's no discharge in this war. The young and the old alike, let me say, it isn't over until it is over.
Amen.
We don't back off. There is no backing off. I'll tell you what there is a marching on.
Amen.
There is a fulfilling of the commitment and responsibilities that we have as children of God to serve God in whatever capacity He may call on us to do.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, I think we live in a generation that people have got the idea that only pastors are to be Christians.
Yeah. You're right.
It's only pastors, you know, that's got to live right. Sanctify themselves, walk with God, live a holy life. That's wrong too. I'm telling you, we as members of the church are just as, you have just as many responsibilities, are just as responsible to Christ as what our pastor is.
Amen.
And sometimes it is not easy. It's not over till it's over.
Right.
Somebody said, when will this war end? When the body expires. When the flesh finally lays down, that's when the battle is over. That's when the discharge comes. When we stand in His presence complete, that's when we get the discharge. When we see Him face to face, the battle's over. The war has ended. Then we'll get them discharge papers and shout, hallelujah, glory to God. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to shock Him when we get there, and in order to shock you when you get there. You've been to Calvary and saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, friend, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
I don't care what Hillary Clinton says or the rest of that crowd down in Washington. Hey, we're saved by the grace of God. Born into the family of God and on our way to glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let the heathen rage and the people imagine about anything. Come on, I said, what are we going to do if they elect Hillary Clinton? I don't know what you're going to do. But I know what I'm going to do, the same thing I done yesterday and the day before and the day before. I'm just going to keep on doing what I've been doing.
Amen.
Why, preacher said there ain't a devil on this earth got any power over Jesus. I think that includes who I just spoke about. Amen right there. Whoever becomes president doesn't change our relationship with Christ. And by the way, there's nothing that I know of that can change our relationship with Christ. September the 13th, 1970, I was born again by the grace of God into the family of God to become a child of God. And there is nothing that I know that can break that relationship. Praise God, regardless of what they believe and what they say and what they do and what the devil does, I'm still a child of Almighty God. Amen and amen. You know, situations may alter, but the war rages on. Somebody said, well, what about when you get older? I'm not the elder statesman in here, but I'm going to tell you, I'm nearing the 70 mark. I'm not as young as I once was. I once was young, but I can say I now am old. Let me finish that. But I still haven't seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. I'm telling you, God is going to take care of us until the end. Like old Billy Kelly said, praise God, if it gets so bad, there ain't but one loaf of bread in the entire state of South Carolina. He said, I'm going to be on one end of it nibbling.
Yeah.
Amen. God's going to take care of His own.
Amen.
And you missionaries in here, I'm going to say this. And I'm not the pastor now, so I can say it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm about getting tired of missionaries going to the field and staying about 3 or 4 months, and all of a sudden they got to come back.
Right.
And things just didn't work out the way they was. Did God call you or did God not call you?
Yeah.
Brother, I'm telling you, where God puts us, God supplies for us.
Amen.
And I won't say this. When God calls, and I got goofed up here a few years ago, but when God calls a preacher, He doesn't just call him, He sends him.
Amen.
And He's already got a place for him to go before He ever calls him.
Amen.
We need to go and just settle in there. I'm telling you, when y'all left Madison, when I left Underwood, Indiana, I'm going to tell you what God told me. He said, it's time for you to leave this country, the land of your fathers and the land of your kindred, to a land that I will show you.
Amen.
2 weeks later, I was preaching in a little old river rat church over in Rumsey, Kentucky. As the crow flies, about 15 miles from here.
Amen.
Walk into church and it smelled like fish. And the reason it smelled like fish because every time it rained, the river overflowed and it got flooded. I left there after a year and a half, went to Greenville, South Carolina, hallelujah, and got that piece of paper. Went to Tucson, Arizona, started Sun and Shield Baptist Church. And in 1987, in December, God called me right back to within about 15 miles of the place where I started preaching.
Amen.
Say amen right there. Right back to the same place.
Yes, sir.
And I won't tell you this. They was having a camp meeting up there before I went to Bible college back in 1982. At the old building. You ought to go by and see it up on Princeton Pike. Large building.
Yes, sir.
And they was having a camp meeting up there. And Dr. Jerry Clark, the word got out, he was going to resign the church, step down. And they had already had planned to call Brother Ron Cochran as a pastor. We left that church, my wife and I did, and our kids on the last night of that meeting. As we drove out of the parking lot, I looked at my wife and I said, "They've called the wrong man to this church." She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "What I said, they've called the wrong preacher." She said, "Who should they have called?" I said, "Me." She said, "You mean to tell me you really believe God should have called you here?" I said, "I don't just really believe it, I know it."
Amen.
And lo and behold, 1982, I said that, and in 1987, where did God land me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, friend, God, when God calls, God sends, and when God sends, He supplies the need, and He intends for us to stay there and fulfill our responsibilities and commitments that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll dig in and stay there, He'll supply your needs.
Right.
Hey, God don't want the devil run you off.
Right.
All he can do is growl a little bit anyway.
Yeah.
Just growl a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
I say again, situations may alter, but the war rages on. Can I give you a couple of those illustrations? As you grow old, life changes. When I was young, when I first came here back in 87, you know, I didn't have any thought whatsoever of my wife being sick. I wasn't worried about that. She was healthy as far as I knew. But not long ago, she passed out over at the house getting out of the shower. And I'm telling you, we run her to the hospital. They told her, said, "You have got AFib. That means your heart just pounds and pounds and beats faster and wallers and flops and can cause a blood clot." And here I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, goodness gracious, my wife has got a physical problem that could take her life at any moment. Now you say, "Well, preacher, is that a battle?" Let me tell you something, sir. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and laid your hand over on your wife to make sure her heart's still beating?
Right.
You think that ain't a battle to fight? You think that ain't a war that's raging?
Yes, sir.
When you've been married to the same woman.
Amen.
I'll run that by again. To the same woman. Come January the 15th, it'll be 49 years I've been married. I mean, 50 years I've been married to that woman. And I love her and I'm concerned about her. And when she gets sick, do you know who gets sicker?
Yeah. Yeah.
They's just something about it, friend.
Yeah.
You talking about a war that's raging.
Yeah.
Time waits for nobody.
Right.
Older and older we get and the closer we get to the end. And you would think, surely, things would let up and smooth out and get better, but I'm telling you, it doesn't get a bit better. There's still, the war still rages on, but the situations may just change a little bit.
Right.
And then they told me I've got that Parkinson's disease. And I'm telling you, I've done well with it until the last maybe 6 months, and it's catching up with me big time. And every time I'm called on to preach, I think, well, you know, am I going to be able to retain my thought? Am I going to be able to follow the thought that I'm preaching on? How am I going to do about strength and energy in my body?
Right.
Well, it's not like it used to be. If it's like it used to be, I'd already been down off this platform. Amen.
Right.
I might have jumped a couple of pews and run a couple of laps.
Right. Yes, sir.
But I can't do that anymore. Then you get your hands get to shaking, you try to hide it, and you get embarrassed, and you Wonder if people's looking at you and you feel embarrassed and ashamed of yourself, and you get out in public and you ashamed for people to see you the way you are. Somebody said, oh, you don't get like that. Wait till you, if you ever get it, you'll know that I'm telling you right. And by the way, there's no discharge from that war. They say it's just progressive. It's a debilitating disease. And it ain't going anywhere.
Right.
And it's something you got to face every day and something you got to face with your wife every day. The war goes on, and there's no discharge in this war, friend. No discharge in this war. That's absolutely right. You know, the fight continues on. Listen what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, if you'll notice there, Paul didn't speak these words when he was a young man in the ministry.
Right.
When he was a young man in the ministry, do you know what occupied his mind and his heart? Every time he got in front of somebody like Agrippa or Festus or some of those, you know what? Hey, he said, let me tell you about one day when I was on the road going down to Damascus. He was concerned about the gospel.
Yes.
Concerned about souls that needed to be saved by the grace of God. That was what was on his mind then. But I'm telling you, when he got old and was there in the prison, he said, hey, I have fought, past tense, a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm just about ready to cross over that line. Somebody say amen right there. Busy telling people about the Damascus Road. Now I'm telling you, the fight continues against the flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, when you get older, you don't have to worry about the flesh anymore. Oh, you're dumb. It's still there. The war's still there. The flesh, the flesh is going nowhere. You young men in here that are preachers, I'm telling you, you better tucker in and get ready to fight the battles right on, because
right.
they're not gonna cease. That flesh is not gonna lay down. Somebody said, "Well, I'll crucify it." Good luck.
Yeah.
I know I'm crucified with Christ.
Sure.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. I understand all that. But I'm telling you, the flesh is still tempted just like it was when you were young. It ain't going anywhere. The flesh. The Bible said the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. Now, I can't read anywhere in that verse of Scripture said that they're contrary one to another until you get 70 years old. They're contrary one to another, period.
Right.
Ain't that right or not?
Right.
Then there's still the fight continues on against the devil. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now notice, the Bible said the devil is not in a hurry. He's just walking about. He's not running. He's not ahead of the game. He's just walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, by the way, let me go back. One step, if I can, in this world. Brother, the world will draw you like a magnet and stick to you just like glue. Say amen right there. Amen. But that devil, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's in no hurry. He does so that he might observe well the things that are around him. He's just walking and seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to tell you, I believe I read once on that book about the shepherd. I believe I read where, as that shepherd, it was talking about that roaring lion. And the lion does not seek out the strong of the flock. You know who he looks for? The sick, the weak, and the old. Amen. And just because we've got old, fellas, devil ain't going to leave us alone. The flesh ain't going to leave us alone. There is no discharge in this war. But I'm telling you, there's coming a glorious, happy day. Thank God. When it'll all be over and all be behind us, and we will rise in the cloud to meet our Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then that war will be over.
Amen.
And I want to say one thing about this flesh and this devil. I'm learning that the Lord will fight your battles for you. Woo! I'm glad He's on my side. Thanks be unto God. Oh, yes. Thank God He's on our side.
Amen.
William Barrett Travis in the Alamo, when he sent out that letter, I don't know if you've ever read that letter that he wrote to Sam Houston or not. But in one part of that letter, he said, "The Lord is on our side."
Amen.
Said, when we got here, we had so many beeves, and now we've got double that many beeves. Said, "The Lord is on our side." And he finished that letter by saying, "Victory or death, William Barrett Travis."
Amen.
May I say, as a child of God and serving Him, it's victory or death. That's all that we have.
Right.
Victory
Amen.
Or death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord is on our side.
Yes.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Devil's not in any hurry. He's not looking. He's not looking for the strong, but the weak and the sickly and the old. And then the battle still continues against the world. The world pulls like a magnet and sticks like glue. The Bible said in 1 John 5:4, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith."
Amen.
Now, our faith continues on. The fight continues on, but our faith continues on also. The Bible said the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
The just. Well, now you live by faith until you're 70. Then you don't have to live by faith. And oh no, the just shall live by faith. Listen carefully. Now these all, the Bible said in Hebrews 11, now these all died in faith. That's talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. Then that verse comes into play. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Embraced them. Let me ask you a question. Did Noah's faith end? Everybody talks about Noah's faith in building the ark. Thank God he built the ark.
Amen.
But once he got the ark built, did his faith end?
Right.
No. He had to have enough faith to get in the ark.
Right.
He had to have the faith to ride out the storm in the ark.
Right.
He had to have the faith when that ark settled down on Ararat to get out of it. And I'm going to tell you something. Having all that faith, having built that ark and rode out the storm, in his old age he built a vineyard, planted a vineyard, and got drunker than Cooter Brown on the wine of it. The war was still raging. He still had to live by faith, ladies and gentlemen, and he faltered. Somebody said, "Oh, I'll never falter." Well, you pig-headed idiot, I'm telling you. With that idea in mind, you're in serious trouble. If you think you can't falter, stumble, and fail, I've got news for you. You can.
Sure,
that's right.
Amen.
That old devil and the world and the flesh, they're going to hang with you until the very last moment.
Right.
Amen. Let me ask you another question. Did Abraham's faith cease when he departed the land of his nativity? No. It had only begun.
That's right. Exactly.
Along come Isaac, believing God for Isaac, and along come the offering of Isaac
right.
as a sacrifice. My lands. And I preached years ago on when God requires your Isaac. God had promised Abraham Isaac. Abraham and Sarah had prayed for that boy, and along came Ishmael. And Abraham said, oh, let Ishmael walk before me. And God said, no, I'm going to bring a son out of your own loins. And Sarah said, but I'm going to tell you, anything impossible with God? Anything too hard for God?
No,
nothing too hard for God. Abraham's faith didn't cease when he departed the land of his nativity. It had only begun. What about Enoch? When did his faith cease? The Bible said in Genesis 5:24 that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now, if I read correctly, we're to walk with God by faith today. Enoch walked with God and was not. And as long as we're in this body, we're going to be required to walk with God. I wrote down there, I said, question. When did Enoch cease to walk with God? I said, answer. When he was not. When he was not, that's when he ceased to walk with God. Well, I'm going to rear back and let life roll on by. I've done my duty. God help us. I'm going to tell you, I'll be in a few days turned 70 years old, and I made up my mind that I'm going to keep on fighting the good fight of faith and fighting against the flesh and sin and devil and Satan himself.
Amen.
My teeth fell out, so I'll just gum him if I have to.
Amen.
Do my best to claw his eyes out.
Amen.
But the war's not over.
That's right.
There's no discharge in this war.
Amen.
None until they lower you down in that grave will you be discharged from this war that we're in. I don't care how old you get, how sickly you become, how the situation changes, where you're living, what church you're in, if you're a child of God, the war rages on in your life. There's no discharge in this war.
Right. That's right.
I'm going to tell you something. I thought, man, before I stepped down, I thought, you know what? I'm going to live a little while, take life easy. Now, that's what I thought. But I found myself sitting over in that recliner. By the way, I had to get a part-time job. Been doing a little mechanical work on the sideline. Every morning I get up and put my rear end in the recliner. But do you think there's not a battle raging there?
Right.
You sit down in that recliner and you think, goodness gracious, is this it?
Come on.
Is this what some people call retirement? I said, if it is, give me enough strength to preach one more time, Lord.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. No. There is no such thing as retirement. Stay with me and I'll be done here in a few minutes.
You're all right. Preach. Amen.
When I'm dying, I still want to have faith in the gospel.
Amen.
Thank God I'm tending for the power of gospel. Amen. It's got the power to lift an old fallen sinner from the depths of sin.
Yes.
Lift him up into heavenly places in Christ and seat him at Christ's own right hand. The gospel has the power to transform us and someday transfigure us. The gospel has the power to deliver from sin. Hallelujah. And give us a hope of glory down in our soul.
Amen.
And when I die, I still want to have faith in the gospel that it still works. And by the way, it does work. I'm telling you, I'm so sick and tired of hearing these new fandangled goings and things taking place in camp meetings and revival meetings and every kind of a meeting. You think, well, this is the way to get the job done. I'm going to tell you, when the gospel won't get the job done, friend, you better not try to depend on anything else.
Amen.
I try to get it in that Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief, and He suffered and bled and died and shed His blood for our sin and give that blood upon the altar in heaven itself and delivered us by the power of Almighty God. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Thank God for the gospel. Read Corinthians 15. It'll tell you about the gospel.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nothing like it.
Yes, sir.
Victory over the grave. I can't imagine walking down through a cemetery with a Christian family with a casket of one of their loved ones that died in the faith. And getting to a grave and saying, well, this is the end of the line. There's no hope. This is it. We're going to bury him. And believe you me, my wife and I have buried a few. We visited both the cemeteries where our loved ones are at. We was in Indiana this past week. I couldn't do that. Man, I'm going to tell you, when I get to that cemetery, that vault is sitting on top of that grave and getting ready to be lowered down into that dirt. I can't imagine looking at that family and saying, well, there's no hope now.
Right.
They're gone. Oh, there is a hope.
Yes.
A blessed hope.
Yes.
Of His glorious appearing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And at that appearing, there's going to be a trumpet sound.
Yes.
And it's going to sound so loud, it's going to wake the dead.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
I've heard Harold Sotler say more times than once. He said, I don't want to go. He said, I don't want to be alive and remaining at the rapture. He said, I want to die before. I want to know what it feels like to get victory over the grave. Said, when he called Harold Sotler out, said, I'm going to get up out of the grave, shake the dust off my burial shroud, wipe the dust off my glorified eyes, shout for a little while, and then be caught on up in the glory where the Lord's at. I'm telling you that there is yet hope at the grave, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks be unto God. We're going to get up out of the grave. Can you imagine and get a new body? Woo! Somebody said, do you really believe that? Yes, sir. I believe I'm going to get a brand new body. Transfigured. That little old butterfly is going to come out of that cocoon.
Amen.
It's going to open up in something beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Can I say this to you? We've not rolled off the assembly line yet.
Right. Amen.
He's still working on us.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And that work will continue.
Amen.
Until that wonderful day.
Yes, thank God.
Now I want to say this, and I'll be closing here in just a second. Following Christ continues on.
Amen.
Just because you're old does not negate the responsibility that we have to follow the Lord.
Amen.
Can I say this to you this morning? I know I've been criticized for stepping down here at the church. I know people have probably talked about it. But I'm telling you, what I did in the absolute perfect will of God.
Amen.
And I believe God's proved it out. Amen. That it was done in the absolute perfect will of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Yes,
God done with me here, but God ain't done with me. You catch that by slow freight after a while. I still want to follow. Let me give you this, and I'll close in Philippians chapter number 3. Paul there is talking about all his wonderful, you know, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews and all this and all that, but said all these I counted lost for Christ's sake.
Amen.
And he said in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Now get these words. Either were already perfect. Paul said, I'm not perfect yet. But he said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I ain't apprehended it yet. I ain't made it. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Did you notice those words up there when he said, but I follow after that I may apprehend, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. How many in here has heard my famous zero candy bar message? A lot have heard it. Well, you're getting ready to hear some of it again. I hadn't been here long until there's a family over in Bremen. And I was going over there to visit them one night. And on the way back, there was a little Ideal Market there in Bremen. And I said, you know, I'm just going to stop in here, swing in here, and get me a good cold Pepsi Cola. I said, in fact, I may get me a Pepsi Cola and a bag of peanuts. Put them peanuts, I like to drink a little of it down, put them peanuts in the bottle and drink that Pepsi and eat them peanuts. That's good, ain't it, preacher? That's fine eating. But when I got in that little old Ideal Market, I saw the soft drink case all the way to the back, so I turned and started down that aisle, and it was a candy aisle, all kind of candy bars. When I was a boy, I loved them zero candy bars, that caramel and that nougat and all that. Man, I'm telling you, ooh, I just loved them. And I walked by those candy bars, and I looked, and there were some zeros in there, and I started to walk on. It was like that candy bar said, hey, bud. Sir, are you talking to me? Well, you're the only one there, dummy. Well, Mr. Candy Bar, Mr. Zero, what can I do for you? I'll tell you what you can do me. Just reach your hand over here and apprehend me. Then you can delight yourself in all that caramel and that nougat, how delicious and how wonderful it is. I said, nah. And them things are for kids. I started to walk over and he said, hey, you're making a big mistake. Don't you remember how they taste? Yes. Well, wouldn't you like to have it? Yes, but I want some peanuts. No, you want a zero. So I started walking. I walked on off and I got my Pepsi. As I come back up the aisle, candy bar was on my right. And when I got right in that spot, it seemed like that candy bar said, hey, bud, you got another opportunity here. Don't throw it away. I said, all you got to do is just reach over here and get me. And man, I started thinking about how good that thing tasted. That caramel, that nougat, I said, man, it used to melt in your mouth. It would be good to eat one of them. And I couldn't control myself. I reached in there and I grabbed that zero candy bar. I said, I will eat every bite of you.
Amen.
I got in my car, unwrapped it, took that Pepsi, and began to delight myself in that candy bar. But you know something, before I ever ate that candy bar, before I ever reached in onto that shelf and apprehended that zero apprehended me.
That's right. Amen.
And in 1970, on a Sunday morning at Grace Baptist Church, Christ passed by my way. And I started to walk on and he said, hey, dummy. Don't you want me? I said, me, Lord? And I looked and I saw the most beautiful man, the most wonderful person that I'd ever seen in all of my life. How magnificent he was. And I'm telling you, his glory and his grace began to apprehend my soul, and I wanted him more than anything that I ever wanted in all my life. And I knelt at that old altar and I said, Lord, I've got to have you.
Yes.
You are the most... Hey, he apprehended me.
Right. Amen.
And ever since that day, I have been doing my best to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended.
Amen.
I mean, something got a hold of me. It really got a hold of me. Christ really got a hold of this old boy. They said he'll never make it, but praise God, I'm still a trucking on for Jesus. And so that candy bar that day apprehended me. And that morning on that altar, Christ in His glory apprehended me. And I thought, well, He's got me. That's into that. I'll make it. Well, just trot on down. But that wasn't the end of it. I learned real quickly that I had to apprehend that which had already apprehended me. And brother, if I'm taking too long, Brother Shepherd, just tell me. But I used to smoke them Marlboros. Lord said, oh, I am a gambler preaching one day, and he stuck that hand out over that pulpit at Bible Baptist Church, and he said, if you smoke, you don't smoke. Cigarette smokes, you're a sucker. Went home that night, laid them Marlboros down by the bed, and as I got ready to go to sleep, I reached over for them, and the boy said, go on, sucker.
Yeah.
Woke up in the middle of the night like I always done, reached hard to get one, and the boy said, go on, sucker. Got up the next morning, reached for them, and the boy said again, said, go on, sucker. I said, I remember I got in that little old GMC pickup truck and headed down Highway 31 and got down there to what they call a place called 39. I had three boxes of them flip-top box, you know, filter flavor flip-top box. And I rolled that window down and said, choo, choo, choo. And I hadn't smoked one since. Here's the statement, though. I thought that I'd apprehended.
Yeah.
Well, I don't smoke. I'm really like Jesus.
Yeah.
Then I started hearing people talk about television.
Yeah.
I said, out you go, buddy.
Amen.
Throw that television out. And I said, now for sure, I have apprehended that which has apprehended me. I'm like Jesus. I threw my television out. But he began to show me what was really in here.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what I saw in here was something that I despised. Something that didn't set well with me at all.
Right.
But I read one day where Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth.
Yeah.
Thy word is truth.
Amen.
And Brother Hardin, as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing, that King James 16:11 began to flow through this old boy's body.
Amen.
Do you think that I've apprehended yet? You think that I am fully like Christ, long way from it. You think, well, surely there's nothing left in there. Oh, I'm telling you, even at my age, I see self-will.
Sure.
I see jealousy. I see sin that I never dreamed could dwell in my bosom. How do you get it out? By apprehending Him to be more like Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, to be more like Him.
Yes.
That is our goal. Somebody said, my goal is to win souls. No, your goal and your, is to be like Him.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with winning souls, but I'm saying we need to labor in the book and in prayer to be like Him.
Sure.
casting aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that He set before us.
Amen.
And it seems like the more you get out, the more you see.
Yep.
And I'm going to say this to you. The more light that you have, the more is required.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, well, my pastor's the greatest pastor in all the world. I hope so. But he's going to make you as uncomfortable as a man can get. You know what? I leave here a whole lot of times at night thinking in my own hearts. I said, who told the preacher that? Somebody said, yeah, after pastoring here 26, 27 years. Yeah, me. And I got news for you, friend. If you look real close and not real close, you'll see some things down in there that you don't like either.
Oh,
I look back, Brother Blue, over my ministry here, and I'm telling you, I would to God I'd done things differently. I would to God that I had dealt with men, and especially the preachers of this area. I would to God that I'd dealt with them in a different frame of mind and a different attitude and a different spirit. But I didn't. I made mistakes along the way, and that had to come out. Little white lies. Lust. There's a whole lot in there. There's no discharge in this war. Somebody said, what am I going to do? Keep on fessing up.
Right. Amen. That's right.
There's only one solution. I mean, when God reveals that sin that is in there, just as quickly as you possibly can, find yourself an old-fashioned altar and puke it up. Get it up.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, it'll still hound me. Yeah, but if you puked it up, it'll still hound you. But you've done all you can do.
Right.
I don't think people believe that. You confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once that sin is confessed, we have done all that we can do. The rest is on Him.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Now let me say this. He said, purge me with hyssop. But He said, wash me. Purging is just hyssop, they took that hyssop and they just sprinkled blood on you. This is what David's talking about, his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. He said, sprinkle me with hyssop.
Yep.
But then he said, wash me.
Amen.
And that's literal. Plunge me into the depths of your blood, Lord, and wash me.
Yes.
And I shall be clean. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's no discharge in the war. It's not going to get any easier.
Right.
Not going to get any easier.
Right.
May God help us this morning.
Amen.
There is no discharge
yeah.
from this war. Till someday we can say like Paul, I finished my course.
Right.
I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept. Can you get a hold of that little word? I have kept the faith.
Amen.
Not as easy as it sounds.
Right. Amen.
I found it to be so. Bless His wonderful name.
Amen.
I marvel at how Christ could love me. Oh, if you could only see, and He sees it all. That's the amazing thing, that He sees it all, and yet He still loves you and I.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Amen.
And we have. I bless His wonderful name. Preacher, you come right on. I'm done.